Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Monday, September 26, 2016. I am Jason Powell on ProWrestling.net today. My WWE Clash of Champions live review, as well as the Clash of Champions hit list. WWE has a new German television partner. And, of course, you can join me tonight for live coverage of WWE Raw, beginning with the pre-show coverage at 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern. Non-members, coming up after the break, I will be discussing WWE Clash of Champions and looking ahead to tonight's WWE Raw. Before we get into Clash of Champions, I do want to take a moment and direct you guys to tonight's PW Torch livecast that is going to be airing after WWE Raw. No, I'm not actually appearing on the show. I will be on Wednesday. Wednesday afternoon, I'll be joining Wade Keller. But the reason I'm pointing you to this show is that James Caldwell announced on Sunday's livecast that he is stepping down as the Torch assistant editor, and he is going to be appearing as a co-host on their Raw postgame show tonight. James ended up stepping into the position that I vacated when I left the Torch many years ago. He's been with them for 8 years in the role, and I think he's done a really terrific job. So I want to give him an audio shout-out and direct you guys to his final scheduled show. Sounds like he'll be kind of dropping in from time to time, but still, it's the end of an era as far as his full-time status goes with the Torch, and you can check that out at pwtorchlivecast.com immediately following tonight's WWE Raw. I don't know what James is doing next. I haven't even reached out to him directly yet. I intend to, but I can tell you this, I have no doubt he's going to be successful. He's a really hardworking guy, and even though James and I aren't all that close or anything, you know, we exchange notes, but just based on my experiences with James, and certainly from talking with others about James, a good person, a class act, so I just wanted to take a moment to wish him well, and again, direct you to that his final live cast at pwtorchlivecast.com coming up after Raw tonight. Okay, let's get into WWE Clash of Champions. I kind of felt like this was a mildly disappointing show. Jake Barnett and I both agreed on the audio review of the show that we did for members last night that it was in the C to C minus range. I felt like Raw showed its depth by giving an entire show that didn't really feature any filler matches or let's get everyone on the show type of matches. But I also felt like it showed that the Monday Night brand just has this never-ending obsession with authority figures. They had Kevin Owens facing Seth Rollins in a main event, and it's an internet dream match, really. And if somebody had told you at the beginning of 2016 that this match was going to be headlining a pay-per-view in September, and it would be for a world championship or universal championship, I think you would have circled the date, and you would have been looking forward to this. Unfortunately, WWE really dropped the ball. The live crowd just kind of sat there, reacted to certain spots, but they were not invested in either wrestler or whatever their issue is with one another. And, I mean, really, why would they be when both wrestlers have spent the majority of their time talking about Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, and Mick Foley rather than each other and the Universal Championship? Kevin Owens is like one of the best talkers in the game. And he's just been relegated to talking about proving Stephanie and Mick Foley wrong and saying that Triple H made the right call by backing him. And then the only Rollins-related promo that we heard from Kevin Owens during the build to this was basically him just tearing down Seth Rollins and talking about what a bust he's been since he returned from knee surgery. And I could live with that if WWE were actually telling us some sort of redemption story, some sympathetic story of Rollins battling back from major knee surgery and struggling to get back to the level that he was once at, but that really doesn't seem to be the story that they're telling. Instead, they're just telling us that Rollins is pissed at Hunter and Stephanie because Hunter didn't cheat on his behalf. That was the setup for Seth Rollins turning. He's not playing to the fans. He's just a guy who's bitter that Triple H didn't cheat to help him rather than Kevin Owens. I mean, there's not anything to really latch on to there, is there? I think everything about this program feels like it's more about building to Rollins and Triple H at some point rather than focusing on the now, the championship, Rollins against Owens. We never heard a mea culpa from Rollins telling fans that he's seen the light. There's been nothing like this. I mean, this is the same guy who returned from major knee surgery to massive cheers not all that long ago. And then he told the fans that he didn't want them on his side. He turned on the fans. I mean, that's when WWE should have turned Seth Rollins. You can blame Vince McMahon and his just insane belief that Roman Reigns should be the top babyface right here and now. Instead of giving Seth the babyface push that fans wanted, Vince went back to the old heel Rollins facing wannabe babyface Roman Reigns as his top feud. And I think they're still paying the price for it. And I don't even, if for instance, if Finn Balor had not suffered the injury, Would we even be seeing Seth right now in this top babyface role? It's just, it's stubbornness. So many things you can point to. So many problems in WWE. You really just stem from Vince's stubbornness when it comes to refusing to turn Roman Reigns. And I do want to emphasize again, just for people who may not hear me say it, maybe don't catch every show, I think Roman Reigns can be a tremendous heel. And someday, I think he can be a good top babyface for WWE, but I still continue to feel like he needs this heel run. He needs it. And had Vince pulled the trigger even then, or maybe even a year ago, I mean, he'd be that much closer to that point where fans would be ready to accept him as the babyface, but he just won't budge. And now it's just all about the authority figures again. And I don't know when Triple H is going to show up. I thought he'd be showing up last night. He didn't. I don't know if they'll have... I mean, I would have had him show up last night and open this show and really lay it on thick that he's going to be opening the show, explaining his actions, because the first hour is not opposed by the debate tonight. But we'll talk more about the debate and WWE Raw coming up here in a little bit. Hey, .NET members are listening to the 65-minute WWE Clash of Champions audio review that Jake Barnett and I recorded after the show last night. The members are also going to be hearing my Q&A audio show later today, my WWE Raw audio review coming up after the show tonight, sometime late night, be available for you guys first thing in the morning. And in case you haven't heard, former .NET staffer Chris Shore returned to .NET Weekly for the first time in nearly 2 years. Chris and I got together on Friday, discussed a lot of, we kind of caught up on what Chris has been up to in life outside of covering pro wrestling. He is still actively involved on the independent side of pro wrestling, and so it was really cool to catch up with Chris and kind of hear about an upcoming project that he's working on that he's very excited about. And you can definitely check that out if you are a member. We went just shy of 2 hours. It was a throwback episode of .NET Weekly. It's, somebody kind of pointed out on Twitter that it's like old times. We're going 2 hours, as Chris and I used to. We've kind of tried to trim that up to anywhere from an hour to 90 minutes for .NET Weekly. But I know some people really enjoy those long form, and it was really cool to catch up with Chris. And I'm sure we'll be hearing from Chris again as this project that he's working on comes closer to fruition. But membership rates start at $7.50 for 1 month. If you want to save yourself some money, there is the 6-month option that brings the price down. You take the annual option, it whittles off $2 a month. It brings that average price down to $5.50 per month. All the details available on the main page of ProWrestling.net. Once you're there, just enter the sign-up area, and you will find those three different pricing options. You can be signed up for membership very quickly. It's not a difficult process. We would love to have you come on board, and good timing. I mean, coming out of last night's pay-per-view, this week we go into Ring of Honor's Friday night pay-per-view, the All-Star Extravaganza, and TNA Bound for Glory. So it's and then I think the following week already, is it are we into WWE No Mercy? It's the pay-per-views never end, so it's always a good time right now to sign up for .NET membership. Hey, no time like today. If you have any questions on it, hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet or shoot me an email, dotnetjason@gmail.com. Just be sure to spell it out, dotnetjason@gmail.com. Okay, here are a few things that I'm going to be looking for in tonight's edition of WWE Raw. Number one, what's WWE's approach going to be when they are airing opposite the U.S. presidential debate? Are they going to load up the first hour of the show because it's not opposed by the debate and then phone in the rest of the show? Will they phone in the entire show? Will they use the first hour to set up some bigger matches for later in the show in hopes of trying to maintain some of their audience? I'm really curious to see how they handle this and just how much of a dent the debate ends up taking, you know, putting into the already kind of lousy WWE rating. We won't know the answer until Tuesday afternoon, usually about 3 Central, 4 Eastern is when we find out what the viewership numbers are. But it's going to be very interesting just to see how, you know, how WWE is affected, even compared to Monday Night Football. You know, just percentage-wise, is there a bigger audience that leaves football for the debate than there is for wrestling? Or will wrestling fans be the ones who tune out from Raw at a higher percentage? So, very interesting night, and I will be DVRing the debate. I feel like I'm one of the only people who is not watching this live, but I definitely intend to check out the clown show as it happens. I wish I didn't have to say that, but that's what the whole thing feels like. As far as Raw, the second thing, what is the follow-up to Sheamus and Cesaro and that double medical stoppage? Mick Foley went on Twitter and said, any wrestling fan who didn't like the finish can join his Kiss My Arse Club. Look, unless this was like a legit medical stoppage, which there's no indication that it was, even though Cesaro was lucky to avoid major injury, we hope, from that dive that he did, the suicide dive, the tope, I think at this point, the line to kiss Mick Foley's ass is going to be miles long because it doesn't, I mean, okay, doesn't mean they can't come up with something tonight that pays this off really well or sets up a satisfying payoff to this, but it was a lousy finish for the fans in attendance last night and for anyone who either ordered the pay-per-view, especially those people. I don't know how many people ordered specifically for that, but if this was part of the reason they ended up ordering the pay-per-view and they were given that finish, they have every right to be disappointed. Even if you pay your $9.99 and you just tuned in thinking like, hey, can I see it? You know, it's one of the things that enticed me about this show was seeing some sort of a payoff. Does Cesaro win? Does Sheamus win? And what is the championship opportunity? And you're given a really good match, but a ref stoppage, a double ref stoppage? You don't get a payoff in match 7 of this? Come on, Mick. Of course fans are going to be disappointed, but we'll see where it goes. I am curious to see what they have coming up with this. Third, how much will they play up Stephanie McMahon leaving the building with her husband? Yeah, there's a WWE YouTube clip that shows Hunter picking up Stephanie in a vehicle and the two of them riding off together. And I guess this is supposed to be some sort of a storyline development. It's not like they told us that Hunter and Steph were going the way of Brangelina, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. So I want to know what's so shocking about a husband picking up his wife and driving away. I mean, seriously, were we supposed to think they'd been separated? I know they're just trying to show Hunter was there and show them happy together and play up this mystery of, oh, is Stephanie, and are they working together? Are the authority back working together? Here's the thing. I don't care. I wanted to know what Hunter's explanation was weeks ago. I'm mildly intrigued at this point, but they've dragged this out to the point where I just don't really care all that much, and I certainly don't care what Stephanie knew or didn't know. And that's what they're making the focal point of Raw these days. I don't care. Four, I want to know what's next with the WWE Cruiserweight division. I don't want to see this go the way of the old Divas division, where it seemed like the storylines basically were about the champion and her challenger of the month. Everyone else was either there to put over the champion or the challenger, work meaningless six-woman tag matches just to kind of kill some time, or not even appearing on the show. I really hope the Cruiserweights have programs beyond the championship and that they're not limited to just a single segment every week. And seeing, I know some people, it's kind of, I know there's kind of different feelings on the Cruiserweight setup as far as, you know, the lighting changes, the rope tape is purple, and so it's got a different feel to it. Is that going to make them, does that make them more likely to just go with one segment per show? I'm not saying you can't do them back to back, but if they, you know, if Vince McMahon has this mindset that, you know, you don't want to have too many Cruiserweights on the show, I don't know if you'll see that. But either way, I am curious to see what comes next. Now that TJ Perkins retained his championship at Clash of Champions, and Brian Kendrick ended up giving him a headbutt afterward rather than the handshake. I thought that was nice. I think that's a sign that, well, we're going to see at least one heel in the Cruiserweight division. I'm thinking we'll see more. I don't think it's going to be limited to just Kendrick and everyone else is going to be handshaking baby faces, but we'll see. But I liked what we saw last night. And finally, for Raw tonight, where are they going with the tag division? You know, Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson were pushed as really straightforward, badass heels for a change last night. Now, they ended up losing their match, but it was because of a trombone shot from Xavier Woods. So I want to know if we're going to get more of the serious Gallows and Anderson and whether it will lead to a Hell in a Cell match to blow off the program or even to prolong it if they want to do a tag title change either tonight or in a Hell in a Cell match. I mean, this is one of the few matches that the feud has gone on long enough that even though it hasn't been an intense feud, I feel like over the next 30 days, they can make it feel intense enough that it belongs in a Hell in a Cell match. And I don't know how many Hell in a Cell matches they're going to have on the next month's show, but I would say this is a candidate if they're going to have multiple. I wouldn't want this to be the only one, New Day against Gallows and Anderson, but if they're going to have multiple, I think it certainly deserves some consideration. The issue here, there's not a lot of depth in the tag division on Raw. I mean, it feels like they already should have moved on from this just because it was booked so poorly until last night. And I'm not, you know, fawning over a trombone finish, but at least you protected Gallows and Anderson to some extent. So I'm guessing they move forward with this. And just with the lack of depth in the tag division, I do wonder if they will have a tag title turn. They wanted to get to the magic number of 400 consecutive days for New Day holding the championship, and then maybe tonight or again could be at Hell in a Cell. You get Anderson and Gallows winning those tag titles. Something else to keep in mind kind of plays in what we were talking about with Sheamus and Cesaro. Well, they've been promised a championship opportunity. We'll see if they have there's some sort of a final match or if the best of seven just ends 3-3 with a double medical count out, so there's really no winner. Does Mick Foley try to pacify them and everybody else by giving them a tag title shot? Get them on the same page? Sheamus was awfully nice last night on the Raw pre-show, or I'm sorry, the Clash of Champions kickoff show. He was complimentary of Cesaro, saying, putting him right there with Daniel Bryan on the list of his toughest opponents. And, it doesn't mean Sheamus has to turn babyface, but, you could go either way. If Anderson and Gallows are going to be your champions, well, then these guys would probably be babyfaces and face them. If it's going to be New Day, you'd think they'd be heels. But it's just, all of a sudden, he's complimentary, and I wonder if there's a way to spin this into, these guys are a pretty, badass heel tag team, or even a badass babyface tag team together, I think would be kind of interesting, because I really don't feel like they know what they want to do with either guy. And the alternative would seem to be, if Sheamus wins this best of seven, his championship opportunity probably is a U.S. title match with Roman Reigns. Does anyone really want to see that program again? I don't. And then if Cesaro wins it, yeah, he could feud with or challenge Kevin Owens, but it kind of feels like Owens has his own thing going on right now with Seth Rollins that they're in the middle of, so I would expect that to be more of a one-and-done type thing. So the two of them teaming together wouldn't necessarily be so bad. Now, there's nothing stopping them from having Cesaro face Roman Reigns either. So, there's different ways they can go about that. But, I'm kind of actually, even though I can roll my eyes at the initial thought that he could book them in a tag title match as the payoff for this, I'm warming up to it a little bit. Just because you look at the tag division, there's a reason Enzo and Cass are feuding with the Shining Stars. There's no depth there. They need something, and these guys need something to do. And so this might be good use of them. We'll see. Hey, did you notice that I don't really care about what's next for the Universal Championship or the U.S. Championship? Yeah, it's kind of a problem WWE needs to address, isn't it? Hey, finally today, if you want to help spread the word about this podcast and ProWrestling.net, we would really appreciate it. All you have to do is take a moment to subscribe to the podcast, rate and review us on iTunes if you get a chance, and when I put the Twitter link out there via @ProWrestlingNet, just take a moment and give it a quick retweet, even a like, anything. We'd really appreciate it. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back in this same slot tomorrow. Until then, take care.